I shout, waving to the officers as I spill out of the car before Everett could even put it into park. The word bursts from my lips, raw and unpolished, shattering the tense silence as blue police lights dance rhythmically against the front of my house, then splash violently across my lawn. The officers approach, their faces grim. It feels as though they should be moving with some kind of urgency. But instead, they walk with restraint. I want to shake them, beg them to tell me what to do. Instead, I fold my hands nervously together and squeeze them to keep from fidgeting wildly.
Josephine Marie Hargrove,
one of them calls out, reading stiffly from a small notepad in his hand. It's the name on my driver's license, a name I never use. It sounds foreign, official, a stark reminder that this surreal scene is very much happening. Normally, I am Joe. Since middle school, always just Joe. Except to telemarketers, and apparently now to these policemen. I nod, stepping into the formality of the name and the inescapable horror that's taking hold of me. How did this happen? There's yellow tape being rolled out like the red carpet for a premiere no one would ever want to attend. A van pulls up, stark and ominous, the word forensics stamped on the side. A gravely macabre scene. I squint against the harsh lights, trying to read the officer's expression, searching for a clue as to what I should do next. He's a wide man with a substantial beard and strange colored eyes. For a moment, I try to decipher if they are blue or green, but realize with a start that it could not matter less. Nothing so trivial will ever matter again. Somewhere behind me, a door slams, a neighbor's curious gaze hidden quickly behind a hastily drawn curtain, and I'm sharply reminded of how public our ordeal has become. We are now that house, that family, caught in a storm of police lights and whispered suspicions. My bare feet are cold against the wet grass, and a chill runs up my spine. I have to get us out of this. I have to get my family back to the normal, mundane life we were living. The life we had before she arrived. The officer finally snaps me back to attention with a stern question he's clearly tried to ask me more than once.
How long has she been missing?
I open my mouth to answer, but the words clog in my throat. I have no idea how long she's been gone. I've only just found out myself.
I don't know. I was at dinner with my husband when my daughter called.
The realization slaps me across the face. I catch sight of my children huddled together by the front door, their faces pale and eyes wide with fear. The sight of them sends a fresh wave of panic crashing over me. I rush over, my breaths coming in short, sharp gasps.
Are you okay?
I manage to choke out, my voice trembling. They nod, but their eyes tell a different story. They're just as scared as I am. Before I can say anything more, another officer approaches.
Ma'am, we need you to come with us.
His tone is firm, but not unkind.
We have some additional questions.
I want to stay with my children.
I squeeze them close to me, but feel his hand come down on my shoulder.
We need to speak with you over here.
Though I'm reluctant to let go of Ashton and Megan, I am a lifelong rule follower. I can't imagine challenging this man's authority, even if it means having to step away from my scared children. I follow him back to the driveway, where a third officer is unrolling more yellow tape around the garage. My stomach twists into a tight knot as I watch him. The officer glances at me, then at his colleague.
We found something,
he says slowly, each stretched out.